Amanda of Honeymoon Hill, usually presented at this time by Sterling Drugs Incorporated over most of these stations, will not be heard today. Here is the latest word on the progress of the invasion. Official British sources report that the British 6th Airborne Division has captured and is holding bridges north of Caen on the Cherbourg Peninsula. The division was landed at the opening of the invasion and was reinforced last night. American fighter pilots returning to their base in Britain report that Allied invasion forces have established a bridgehead from 5 to 6 miles deep within France, and this is borne out by German admissions. Our airmen say that Allied holdings stretch from 5 to 6 miles inshore from Boulogne on the Cherbourg Peninsula to Trouville on the Seine estuary. There is still no Allied confirmation of German reports that our forces have launched a second invasion spearhead across the Dover Straits to the Pas-de-Calais area of the French coast. However, we do know that the invasion beachhead, which we hold on the Cherbourg Peninsula, has been strongly reinforced by aerial troop carriers. Allied headquarters has announced that Lieutenant General Omar Bradley is commanding the American First Army in the invasion, and a dispatch from a war correspondent says the German 7th and 15th Armies, commanded personally by Marshal Rommel, are rushing armored and infantry divisions to the beachhead front. And now, from the service of the British Broadcasting Corporation, we bring you a recorded eyewitness account of the Allied invasion. You will hear the voices of men of the British Army, Navy, and Air Forces who participated in the attack. Here is the recording of the broadcast from London.
This is London calling. Here is Radio Newsreel, General Overseas Edition, number 143. This is Alvar Liddell speaking for Radio Newsreel. We open today's story of the Battle of France with the voices of our men preparing for the great task. And war correspondents and fighting men tell us how well that task was begun on the beaches of Normandy. Just heard came from some of our airmen as they waited 2 nights ago to take their place in the Battle of France. They wore many types of uniform, they displayed many types of shoulder flashes, but they had only one purpose to which they were dedicating themselves. Here's the scene as it was recorded by an RAF officer.
On the grass in front of our camp and have a very short service this morning. And all the men are here with their officers, and they know that this is the last service they'll have in this country, possibly for a very long time. They've been briefed. They know what's happening. They know most of the details of the show that is coming off. And they know that in a very few days, they'll be away from this very lovely English countryside and going into, well, they don't know exactly what, and most of them don't know yet exactly where. But with the sun shining, 9 o'clock in this morning, they're singing, "All people that on earth do dwell," drowned occasionally by the sound of aircraft going out as preparation to what they themselves are going to do. Just listen.
Those airmen had their own hazardous duties to carry out. But as they went about their work, they had a front seat view of the men on the beaches whose landings they were covering and supporting. We're going to hear from some airmen whose special job it was to watch and mark. Men of a photographic reconnaissance wing who'd been preparing for their job a long time, as you'll hear first from the wing commander.
Well, this has already been a terrific day for us, and for this reconnaissance wing. It's really the culmination of possibly 2 years of endeavor in this direction. The last 2 years, we've been doing an enormous amount in the photographic line, particularly on defenses across the channel. And today, we've been carrying out another of our roles and been knocking these defenses about. Our particular role is spotting 4 naval guns. And the Navy's been out there in force today and been doing terrific destruction. I think that's about all I should have to say on this subject, but I think I'll hand you over to Bob Wayhill now, because he actually saw some of the first landing craft touch down on the British beaches.
Well, I was fortunate enough to be in one of the first reconnaissance Mustangs which went over the other side on this naval bombardment. We were engaged in a shoot and had taken on one of the coastal batteries when, in the middle of the shoot, I was asked how far away from the beaches the first barges were. I stopped the shoot and went down to about 1,000 feet and stooged over the barges whilst they were still 300 yards from the coast. When they were 100 yards, I reported this fact to the battleship, and when the first barge actually landed, I also reported that fact. It was an amazing sight to see these barges tearing towards the beach, just as though it was a race to who should be there first. I don't know quite what they were so eager about, but it really looked grand. And when the first front of the barge dropped, it was a wonderful sight to see the first fellows going up that beach, hell for leather. I think Flight Lieutenant Percival also has an interesting story to tell you.
I was flying about 3,000 feet around the Le Havre area, going to do a naval bombardment shoot, and on looking down, I saw about 8 vessels coming away from the Le Havre harbour. I at first thought they were British landing craft coming away, but as they opened up to me rather strongly, I jumped to the conclusion that they weren't so friendly, and so I called up the control and told them. Unfortunately, I received no reply, so I called them up again and still got no reply. However, I thought I'd better get out of it. Things were getting a bit hot, so I carried on and carried on down to where my target area was and engaged the coastal batteries, which was quite successful, and we soon silenced them. Soon after that, I noticed more landing craft coming ashore with, as Flight Lieutenant Wagle was saying, with the troops seemed absolutely eager and clamored ashore, chasing up the beach like mad.
That's how it looked from the air. What was it like on the ground? Well, according to Howard Marshall, who went ashore with the first assault wave, it was both noisy and wet. Before he told us his story last night from somewhere in Britain, he'd been soaked twice over in the sea, and he'd left his notes at the bottom of it. This is what he told us of the actual landing in which he was concerned.
As we drove in, we could see shell bursts in the water along the beach and just behind the beach, and we could see craft in a certain amount of difficulty because the wind was driving the sea in with long rollers, and the enemy had prepared anti-invasion, anti-barge obstacles sticking out from the water. Formidable prongs, many of them tipped with mines, so that as your landing barge swung and swayed in the rollers, and they're not particularly manageable craft, it would come into contact with one of these mines and be sunk. That was the prospect which faced us on this very lowering and difficult morning as we drove into the beach. I tell you this, as I say, because it was the experience of so many other men at just this same time. We drove into the beach, swinging rather broadside on in the wind and the waves, seeing the jets of smoke from bursting shells near us in the water and slightly further away on the beach itself. And suddenly, as we tried to get between two of these tripod defense systems of the Germans, our craft swung, we touched a mine, there was a very loud explosion, a sudden ring, a shudder, the whole craft, and water began pouring in. Well, we were some way out from the beach at that point. The ramp was lowered at once, and out of the barge drove the Bren gun carrier into about 5 feet of water, with the barge settling heavily in the meanwhile. Well, the Bren gun carrier somehow managed to get through it, and we followed wading ashore. And that was one quite typical instance of how people got ashore, and when they got ashore, seemed to be in perfectly good order, because the troops are...